Am I on? Okay, I guess I'm on. Shout it out. It really encourages me to see Christopher stand up here and sing. You know, we're all getting older, and in a little while, some of us aren't going to be here. And so to have that next generation taking, doing such a good job, and we got to get him to sing more specials too. He did one the other day at the benefit that just, it was awesome. I really, and you know, I don't want this to come out the wrong way, but you know something, whenever you sense that somebody's singing their heart and then has the quality music to go with it, that just double blesses me. Last time we talked about who is the boss, and I think we figured out that God is, and then he lines up under his authority, he lines up different authorities that that there are, and let's see, something isn't correct here. Let me see what's wrong. But anyway, there we go. Now it's starting to cook. At any rate, my thing's a little slow today. One of the things that I think we fail to understand in the Christian church, in our church, in Western society, is the idea of God's concept of a, we like to think individually. In other words, if I'm doing well spiritually, the world is all good. But God has this view, it is not just you, it is not just your little group, it is not just your family. We happen to be all on the same boat. And if the boat goes down, we all suffer. And everybody needs to be in there rowing, bailing water, helping the sail to stand up straight, and we, our success individually depends on the success of the church. Whenever Daniel confessed the sins, he did not confess his own sins. He confessed the sins of the whole nation of Israel, and he said, "We have failed. We are in idolatry. We have a problem." And brothers and sisters, it, just as when you get married, I don't know about you, but we, when Vanjie and I got married, we only had one bank account. That's because we never had enough money for two, for one reason. But whatever was spent together. If our children suffered, we both suffered. If the husband lost a way to make an income, guess what happened to the family? We in the church of God are called into a family. You are not born individually. You're born into a family. Spiritually, we are born in this family. And what happens to somebody else matters. It matters. You are not your own. You're bought with a price, and that price was paid for his church. And brothers and sisters, how we relate to each other matters. What we say about each other matters. How we help each other matters. And God will judge us, not just on how we do individually, but how we do together. Whenever we look at the body of Christ, this isn't my sermon, but I'm preaching it anyway. I'll get to that. I've got another hour and a half to go, so I'm good. Whenever we think about the body of Christ, and I know this is almost so commonplace it's trite. Whenever you cut your littlest finger, your whole body hurts. Whenever you neglect the littlest item of your diet or health or whatever, the whole body hurts. And we're either going to make it into the kingdom together or we may not make it individually. I don't know if that's too strong, but that's the way I feel. That's what I think the Word says. And when you stand up individually for right, you're doing good. But remember, we have a whole body that we need to bring along with us. You might be spiritual, and that's good, but we have a whole body that needs to come along. And the better you can facilitate that, and the more ways you can generate that, and the more ways you can help that, the more, the better we do. In Sabbath school today, I asked the young people, what are some issues? It was in the lesson, we were talking about casting a vision. What are the issues you see that the church needs? And they said, we need more unity. We do. Doctrinally. We have disagreements. We need to talk it out. We need to work it out. We need to understand. We need to share in a loving way. But we need more unity. And then another one was that we needed to be able to spread the message better, and we need better organized. And Steve Kiner needs better organized. Probably part of the problem. But we need to be, you know, our young people are looking at what the future holds. As we look down the next 10 years, what are we going to be? Who are we going to be? Are you going to be part of making that future good? Or are you going to be part of detracting from that future? Because it's one or the other. And we can be the part that makes that future better for our kids, for the church, by your serving, by your participating, by your giving of your time and effort and money. That makes a difference. Or we can be divisive and we can stir up problems and we can criticize and we can have conflicts with each other. What future do you want to see for yourself, for the church, and for the children? A better future? Well, you're part of that. Somehow I got to get back to my sermon. But I felt that very strongly, and I hope that you sense it, that it was the Lord speaking, using me to share. Well, as we think about transforming the next 10 years, the future, the vision, into reality, I want us to think about how we do that for ourselves and for others. God has provided everything that's necessary. He has. He's given us everything. You go back and think about Adam and Eve. Well, they walked with God. That's better than what I got as, you know, physically walking with God. But they didn't have a Bible, the children after them. They only had the stories that their parents told. They didn't have the Bible. They didn't have a lot of things that we have. God has put into place things for your individual success, but also for the church's success. And that's why I wanted to get in. That's what my main reason for starting down that road I went before, is because success is not measured about whether you make it or not. It's about whether we make it or not as a body. And so God has provided for 4,000 years. For 4,000 years, God revealed himself in a book, in words that were spoken and then written and were placed in a book. And so God was able to reveal himself. You know, the vision, the best vision for me is not just what I hope and dream about. It's what God hopes and dreams about for me. You know, it's not just what God, what you want to do. We can do that. That's pretty natural. But what does God want? What, and our future and hopes and dreams are never very good in the end if they don't line up with what God hopes and dreams for you. Have you ever thought about that? God has a picture of who you are to be and what you are to be, and he has that dream for you. You know, every parent has a dream that their children will grow up, and maybe you want them to be this or that or the other. If you're a nurse, BJ, maybe you thought about, well, if my kids grew up to be a nurse or a doctor, or if you're a farmer, maybe your dream is to see your kids grow up and be successful. But we all have dreams for our kids. They don't always match with their dreams for themselves. Some are better and some are worse. But when God looks at you, he sees you not as you are at this point. I don't care how well off you are, how spiritual. God sees you in his glory. He sees you as a child of his that is a bright and shining light to the world. He knows what's inside of you, and he knows how to change that. And we need to get the picture that God has of us, not just our hopes and dreams and wishes, but what does God see in you? How does he see you as that dynamic person, witnessing, loving, caring, giving, doing for his kingdom? Because it's not until we get on that page are we going to see the full success, the full measure of success of what God can do in our church. And so we have this word that God gives us, and it's a powerful, powerful thing. The word of God is not just print on paper. The word of God, it says, is quick or alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, even to as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Read, be in God's word. Write it on your heart. Put it in your mind. Let it influence and change you, because one part of God's vision is to see you line up with what his word says is right and good and just and noble. You can be something more. You know, I told the kids this. I asked, what's the definition of insanity? It's not a clinical definition. But you know what the definition of insanity is? Is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. If you just do what you've always done, you will only get what you've always gotten. Until we are changed and renewed and filled up with God and his word, there's not going to be any change. Unless God is changing your life, you can expect just what you've always gotten. Sometimes that's not very much. Wouldn't you like to see what God has in store for you? Wouldn't you like to see the accomplishment that he has? I mean, my accomplishments are very minimal. I finished college. I'm a pastor. I love my church. But when you think about what God, read the book of Acts and put yourself in the place of those apostles and see what God did. Because they were willing to follow, to listen, to hear the voice of God and to obey it, to follow it, to let it change them. Whenever they had a problem in the church, what did they do? They went to God. They went to his word, and it was the final answer, and they let it change them. If we repent and turn to God, he will make a different future for us. than what would happen. You know, I love gardening. I haven't got my garden in yet. Need to. But if you take your garden plot and just throw some seeds out there, what's going to happen? What are you going to get? What kind of fruit are you going to get when you do that? You might find one or two seeds that grow up and on their own go out there. But you know, if you don't plow that garden, make the ground soft, if you don't take the weeds out, if you don't plant it in the right way, you won't get hardly anything. But if you do it in the right way and work at it, you can have all kinds. I love those fresh tomatoes. Anybody like fresh tomatoes? Man, I could just take a piece of bread, put some Miracle Whip on it, and throw a tomato on it, and I've got a sandwich. As good, you eat it and it drips down your elbow. This is the best sandwich you can eat, right? I don't need any meat on it or cheese, just that good old tomato. Some people don't like tomatoes, but at any rate, the only way you get those nice, juicy blessings from God is you have to change or work it or do differently. You can't just let it go on its own. And the only way you get the good fruit out of your life, out of our church, is when we put your nose to the grind and put your back into it and become a part of what God is trying to do here. Do you see God working in this church? Are you part of it? Or are you just sitting on the sidelines and kind of drinking in what you can? Are you part of it? God has called us not to be bench warmers. He wants us on the field. You may not be the quarterback. You may never carry the ball. But you are important to winning the game. For 4,000 years, God gave us the word, and we don't ever want to diminish that. In 2 Peter chapter 1, it says, "For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." This talks about whenever they went to the Mount of Transfiguration. "And he received glory and honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majesty on high saying, 'This is my beloved Son, the Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased.' We all ourselves heard that voice that came from heaven." This is like experiences that we have, and I hope you have those great spiritual experiences. That is awesome when you have sensed the presence or the power of God in a very direct way. But listen to what Peter says, and he had more experiences than we might ever have, but "we ourselves heard the voice that came down when we were with him in the sacred mount. We also have a prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you do well to pay attention to it as to a light in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all else, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture." Now, what he's saying in the King James is a little clearer to me. But we have in the King James a more sure word of prophecy. That means that your experience is okay. It's great. It's good to have those. But there is a more sure word of prophecy. This here has been written, recorded for your benefit. It does not change. It is something that you can bank on. It is something that you will be there and say the same thing. The same commandment says, "Thou shalt not commit murder," is there every day, all day long. It's there, and it does not change. And so he says, we have more sure word of prophecy than even our own experiences. And then he talks about this prophecy. For the prophecy never had its own in or never had its own origin or its origin in the human will. But prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along or moved by the Holy Spirit. So whenever we look at the word, this is not just the words. This is God's word. And that's why it matters. And that's why we study. That's why we pray. That's why we look at the scripture and memorize it. That's why we dig in the scripture. Are you in God's word every day? Is God's word becoming part of you? If you want to see that future, that bright future, that glorious future that God has for you and for the church, we have to get in the word. It's not enough just to kind of think about it. You have to be in it. You have to discipline yourself. Carve out time. The word of God is alive. It's something powerful. It's the one that discerns the intents of your heart. It's the thing that will change where you are now into that future you're hoping for. It's one of the things that God has given to us, and it's precious. And we need to grab a hold of it. In 1 Timothy, and these are not unfamiliar verses to those of us in the Church of God, they get preached all the time. It says, "And how that from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." The Scripture is the thing that draws us to Him. The Scripture is the thing that convicts us. You know, a preacher might say a few words that convict you, and that's fine. But unless it's the Word of God in his speaking, that God drills down into your heart, that God burns it in your heart, and you say, "Oh, I got to find another way. God, help me." Unless God's word is the inspiration, just being convicted or emotional about something isn't important. It's got to be because of God and his word. And he wants to take his word, and he wants to change you. He wants to make you a new creature. He wants all the old things to be old and that they become new in Christ. The Word of God is the thing that convicts people. Don't ever try to get people convicted by any other way. Don't try to get people converted in any other way. But when they hear and understand and realize the Word of God, it is alive and powerful. It is the thing that changes the heart. It's the thing that convicts the heart. You ever hear some of those stories that are just stories and they just really bring tears to your eyes? I won't say this too loud, but one person in our family and I watched these stupid movies and we were crying over a toaster. Yeah, I was crying too. Poor little guy, he almost got eaten up by the trash compactor or something like, or the whatever. Or you might watch one of those romance stories that someone else in my family just loves. It's always around Christmas time, and they always hate each other at first, and then they always fall in love, and then they find each other. You know, you may get. But you know something, the thing that needs to cut in our heart and dig in our heart and work in our heart needs to be the fact that we are not where we should be with the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be closer to Him. We need to have power of the Spirit in Him. Life will just consume you if you let it. It will take away all your joy. It will fill your time so full. But unless God is in the center of it, that life is going to be empty and meaningless. When we come to God in sincerity, that's what changes people. That's the power. All Scripture in the King James says, is given by inspiration of God. And a better translation, inspired, kind of is like I got something inside of me from outside, inspire. But the word there, as I understand it from people that know more than I do, is not that it inspires coming into me, but it expires breathing out from God. These are the words of the Almighty God speaking to humanity. And when we take this book and digest it and put it in, we are taking in the expiration, the expiring, the breathing out of God for ourselves. And so the Word of God is expired or God-breathed, and it is useful for teaching and rebuking. So whenever you're talking about people helping people to learn or helping yourself to learn, teaching and rebuking is something that you learn and understand. But it's also the other two half of that, and I heard this the other day and I just thought it was great, but it's for correcting and training. You want that better future, you got to hear and learn. And that's great, and you got to teach each other and encourage each other. But we got to learn, but also we have to do. We have to correct those things. If you have sin in your life right now, it needs to be corrected. Don't let it go. Get rid of it. Change it. And so the correcting and training in righteousness, or the disciplining in righteousness. A discipline is not something you do once. A discipline is something you make into a pattern of life. And so as we look at these things, how many of the Christian values and Christian actions have you made as a pattern of life? How many of those things? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Is that your pattern of life? Get in the Word and learn from the Word. Is that your pattern of life? You see, the correcting is part of it, but getting that pattern of thinking and working and living. Do you read the Bible every single day? Is the Word that important to you? And so those patterns of life we need to set up, and we need to live out that pattern that God gives us. So that the servant of God, not just the preacher. Okay? You got that? Is the preacher the only servant of God here? Absolutely not. You and I are, every one of us is a servant of God. So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You wonder why you don't come to those days whenever you have somebody to witness to. Maybe you haven't prepared and aren't equipped to handle that witness. Maybe you aren't equipped and prepared to handle that person's problem that you're dealing with because you're not in the Word. You haven't digested it. You haven't understood it. It hasn't become a part of you. You see, the Word of God has to become, I ask you, are you in the Word? And is the Word in you? We want to write these laws. We want to make that newness fill us and change us. You know, you are a sinful person. In fact, in your own, you're evil. On your own, you're selfish. You're corrupt. And yet, by the power of God, we are renewed and changed. And every day, just like Paul says, the things I want to do, I can't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. Why? Because that has to be a constant changing, renewing, growing process. And we constantly need to set our lives here and look at it objectively and look at the Word of God clearly. How does it match up? Am I living out the Word of God? Well, I got another 2 hours of sermon, so you got to get it next week. Or actually, It'll be 3 weeks before I preach again here, because next week I'm in Devil's Lake and Kurt's supposed to speak. And the week after that, we have the men's retreat and we got a special guest speaker, Tim Hines. Oh, man, what a brother. What a brother that loves the Lord. I've been his mentor, and I just enjoy. You will be blessed. I promise you will be blessed whenever Tim speaks to us. So let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just